Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If I had to save my marriage in my 30s and 40s, I wouldn't start in my bedroom. I wouldn't start at some fancy restaurant. I would start alone in my car. Alhamdulillah, I've been married for over 20 years, and I've worked with brothers in their 30s and 40s, quiet, outwardly fine, educated, whose wives were done. Now, it wasn't from one big blow-up, but it was from a series of many blow-ups over the past 5+ years. And every time we trace it back, it goes back to that one moment when they enter the front door of their house from the outside. Inshallah, by the end of this video, you're going to know that one habit, the three steps that will save your marriage from what you face outside and bring home to them every single night. This is what we call at Masterman, the pit stop. Just like a race car needs a pit stop, it needs to stop. Pause, change, rejuvenate in order to race the rest of the hundreds of miles. You as well need a pit stop, a time to stop, to release, reflect, and return in order to rejuvenate appropriately. Bismillah. So step number one is release. It's to let go of what the world put on you. This is the decompression phase, the part where you release all of the stress from work, even the mental stress. And that's what we really want to hone in on here, is that one uses the pit stop to begin to decompress and release all of those things that consumed his brain. The pit stop, the release phase, is for you to have that effortless attention. So where they call it soft fascination, you will find some that call it soft fascination versus hard fascination. What is that? Soft fascination is where you have the attention looking at something, pondering over something, but it doesn't require your undivided attention. It is effortless attention. So for example, looking at trees, looking at birds, looking at clouds, looking at the nature, feeling and being present with nature and the wind, and even walking barefoot in order on grass, in order to relax, in order to decompress. That's what's very, very important, because studies show that it relaxes the nervous system when your cognition is not so occupied, as opposed to hard fascination, which requires requires a level of consumption. So one is to have effortless restoration, and the other is consumption. That consumption is when the man, thinking he's going on a pit stop, leaving from work, sits at a park, right? But he pulls out his phone. At the park, on the bench, pulls out his phone, looking at the score of the game, looking at his day trading, reading, something that is taking all of his attention. This is a hard fascination. He is not releasing. He is not decompressing. And this will not help him on the next two steps to go home as a new man, a rejuvenated man. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima, radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, makana tashtaki. She was complaining about, you know, her work in the house. She was, you know, working very, very hard, and it was very stressful upon her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to praise Allah, to say Alhamdulillah 33 times, Subhanallah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. Now, this is interesting when the scholars talk about this, because it is a means of restoration. To where when mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it rejuvenates the heart, but at the same time brings tranquility. It empties the stress and restores the fitrah, restores the connection with Allah. And that's what's so beautiful about this. And this is why even the concept of salah and dhikr doesn't even enter the category of hard fascination and soft fascination. Because with this here, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ, is it not with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find ease? You find tranquility by mentioning Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَكْبَر, of that nature, making dhikr of Allah, mentioning His name. At the same time, simultaneously, you are coming closer to Allah. Your iman is increasing at an effortless level. And this is what is important for this release. So the first one is to release the decompression, to let go of what the world has put on you. at the places that you are outside that may have been a little stressful, having an impact on your attention. If you're still with me, good. Because what I'm about to share is what separates brothers who rebuild their marriages from brothers who lose them slowly year after year. At Mastermind, we built a system around this pit stop. Pods of serious men running it every single day, holding each other to it. If that is what you're looking for, the link's below. I'll come back to it at the end. Now, back to it. Now, the second is reflect, to ponder, to think, to let your soul speak. And what do we mean? Is to be in the state of silence. The state of silence, tranquility, sakina. Remember when we talked about the soft fascination and being in nature, listening to the water rustle, looking at the water, looking at the clouds, looking at the trees, looking at the leaves rustle. These types of things are something that doesn't require a lot of your attention or undivided attention and heavy concentration. Rather, it is effortless attention. It is effortless attention. And this is the key to open the door to reflection. When you're looking at the sky, you're seeing how the clouds are moving, and you're implementing the verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Does he not look at the sky? كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا. Look at how we created it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they ponder over the creation and the heavens and the earth with the thought, our Lord, glory be to thee. So pondering, reflecting over creation is a means for you to remember Allah. But also, as the man leaving work stressed out from coworkers, from your boss, from your business, from your balance sheet, from your conduct, how you may have blown up on someone or made ghibah, this is the time when you reflect on that on an exponential level, because you have the undivided attention now. Now it's the distractions are gone. You've released from those distractions. Now you're thinking, how was I at work? And you're also thinking, how am I going to be at home? How was I when I left this morning, when I was rushing and my wife made breakfast for me, or she didn't and I was very upset? When my child didn't make a good grade and what I told him, you know, we're not going out when we get home. I raised my voice. Whatever it is, this is the time where you ponder and think about it and reflect. And this, I would argue, is probably the most important stage, because this is where the muraqabah takes place, the self-monitoring. You're auditing yourself as well, the muhasabah, really, because you're doing the muhasabah, the auditing of yourself from the previous time earlier in the day. And you're seeing how you release from that with clarity in your mind, now thinking about how you're going to go to your family. What are you going to disclose to them and what you face from work when she asks you how's work, right? These types of things are very important for you to ponder over and to think about. And this brings more humility, because in reality, many men cannot sit alone in their own thoughts. They're devastated by that. They are devastated by sitting alone and thinking, or sitting alone and hearing their mind race, going through the pain of the process of tranquility and calming themselves down, taking deep breaths in and breathing out. Alhamdulillah, I got it under control. I got this under control. It's going to be all right. Bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important. Very important for the man, because that stress from work can cause one to breathe quickly. It can cause him to feel tight-chested. It can cause him to not have any form of ease. And going home with that is the whole purpose that this pit stop is here. You know, Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah, and you'll find many scholars, you know, Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned this as well about Sheikh Islam. He said, you know, Sheikh Islam would sit after Fajr, and sometimes it would say till the sunrise. And he told Ibn al-Qayyim, هذه غدوتي. This is my sustenance. This is my sitting, relaxing, mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his sustenance. It nurtures and fills the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the difference between the one that remembers Allah, between the heart that remembers Allah and the one that doesn't remember Allah, is like al-hayy wal-mayyit, is the difference between, similar to the difference between the life, the living, and the dead. The heart is full with dhikr of Allah, And while you're remembering Allah, you're remembering yourself in regards to glory to Allah. How did you glorify Him at work? How are you going to glorify Him at home? Right? This is so crucial, because after the noise is gone and the clutter is gone, you sit in your car, you put the recline back, you have your coffee, or you're walking in the park, you see the kids playing, you see the leaves rustling, you're mentioning Allah's name, you start to think about yourself as a man. You start to think of those thoughts, and you hold yourself accountable at that moment. This is the reflection that is important for you to tune in and channel the fitrah as much and as intense as you can to reflect. The last is return. To return, to come back whole and not partial or left over from work. You know, when you get in your car, say you're wearing a suit, you went to work with a suit. Don't come home, you know, where you just loosen up your tie and then it's hanging to the right or the left, and you have the front, you know, the top button loosened, and you walk in the door like you just left over from work looking busted and disgusted. No, your family doesn't deserve that. Your wife doesn't want to see that most of the time. Sometimes you'll say, mashallah, hardworking man, which is attractive, which is good. But imagine if you were to take this pit stop, you were to decompress from the stress that made you loosen your tie, right? Then you reflect on what you did, what you could have done better, how strategic you have to be in that regard. Then you're thinking about your family. What do you want to do with your children when they get home? When they run to you or they ask how you're doing? Or do they scatter to their rooms? How can you change that when you enter the reflection? Now it's about going back home. The statement that I mentioned earlier from Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, where he said, this is my morning sustenance. He further said, if I don't take it, my strength fails me. Yani, if I don't take it, my strength fails me. The morning sustenance of releasing, reflecting over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name by making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not a retreat from responsibility. Rather, it's a restoration. It's a restoration to fulfill your responsibility, right? And this is a very stark difference between the cave of Hira and what we know as the man cave, right? Not the Iman cave on our show on Yaqeen channel, but it's the man cave that we constantly hear about, that men need a place to separate from. It started being female energy, the wife. He has his garage with his television, video games, you know, a couple weights here and there. This can be fine, but it's important to understand that it's not cave Hira. The cave Hira, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go to the cave, the place he received revelation, it was to release, reflect, and come back whole. The purpose of going there was to restore himself, to come back whole, not to escape what is in society, then come back as you were, or as society was, and just quote unquote dealing with it. That creates a negative connotation. And some would argue that was the ultimate reason for the man cave. Make no mistake, the man needs to be alone, hence we're talking about the pit stop. But he goes there because he knows he has a responsibility towards others, primarily himself and his family. His family, to come back whole. To where he comes back and his children, if they're younger, they see that he's full of energy. They know Baba went to work, but Baba's coming back for them. It's another job, it's another task. You don't come back looking tired with wajan abus, like your eyebrows are, you know, slanted. You don't want to talk. You know, you have negative energy. You're bringing negative energy home. What can happen is your wife will not even want to talk to you. You know, she won't even want to sit with you. She won't ask you how your day's been, because you just come with so much negative energy. Or when you come home, it's a huge opportunity for you to rejuvenate the house. Your wife may be tired. She may be exhausted, right? You come home, you rejuvenate. You tell the jokes. You laugh with them. You say, hey, let's go out and get some ice cream if wife is tired, because you had your 15 minutes. You had your 30 minutes in the gym, in nature, in your car, with silence, rejuvenating, reflecting, and now you're coming back whole. This is crucial as well, being it's the last stage, because the man that looks like he's left over from work is very, very apparent. The children will eventually understand, and they'll attribute Baba not wanting to sit with us, going straight to his room, sleeping, going straight to his room, watching TV, right, with work. And they'll look at that as your identity and nothing else. So it's important to, when we talk about this stage of return, you return whole with some level of energy, ready to face and be with your family, the ones that you went to work for anyway. So here's where we land, brothers. 10 minutes in your car, in the park, wherever it may be, phone down, work off, just concentrating and pondering. Just sit and think about how you're going to be for your family, having that muhasabah. Because the wife Allah gave you is not your HR department. She is your amana. And every night you have to decide, are you going to build that trust or break it? You make the decision at the door. We ask Allah to make us men who lead our homes with tranquility, to make us of those that when our wives hear us open the door, they feel relief and not tension and stress. Wallahi, that's the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his practice. Listen, if you're serious about this and you've been on this roller coaster for the past 5, 10, 15, even 20 years, and you know doing alone has not worked, check the link in the description. Take the assessment and see where you are as a man and where you possibly need to improve. From this, inshallah, we'll see together if we're a perfect fit, because the Master Man Brotherhood is a pit stop as well. Hope to see you guys soon. Hayakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.